Hello, and welcome to Endeavors. Well, I was going to post this show last week, but I had a theater production of my own, and as those things do, it consumed me, and so here I am. My deep apologies to this week's guest for not getting it up sooner. This week's guest is the amazing, the great, the fantastic, the award-winning singer-songwriter, Sky Wallace. I had a chance to meet Sky during Canada Music Week, where she not only won the Best Rock in the DMDS Yangaroo competition, she also won Best Overall Song. And that was for her single, There Is a Wall. I had a chance to interview Sky a few weeks later on the eve of her tour and my production to talk about her new self-titled album. She just played a bunch of dates in and around Ontario. She did Toronto. She's done Hamilton, a bunch of other cities. She is heading out west as well, I believe, later in the summer, early fall. But, so she had played Toronto, Hamilton. She's coming up to Oshawa tomorrow, and then Windsor, and then Ottawa, Guelph, and then in July she heads to Vancouver, July 9th, and then she's back in Ontario at Richards Landing, Brampton, Alora, two shows in Muskoka, and then back out west in October in Vancouver, Edmonton, Saskatoon, Winnipeg, and then back here in November, Ottawa, London, Kingston, and Kitchener. We talk about her award-winning song, There Is the Wall, and also she has another single, Suffering for You. This is my conversation with Sky Wallace, but first, we're going to start you off with the lead track off her album. This is Suffering for You.
I can't see.
That was Sky Wallace with the track Suffering For You off of her new self-titled album. Now, here is my conversation with Sky Wallace. Sky Wallace, hello.
Good
afternoon, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good.
Good.
I know there was a bit of a parking adventure.
People are crazy out there today. I swear, like, the sun really brings the eccentricities out.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, I mean, both you and I are from the West Coast.
Yeah.
Driving here or driving in Vancouver?
Well, I didn't do a ton of driving in Vancouver, to be honest, just because I was, like, a very nervous driver for a long time. I was in a big accident when I was, like, 15 with my mom and I with, like, some black ice. So I didn't drive for, like, many years of my life, and then I've done most of my driving out here. So
fair.
I'm more comfortable. I also really like the distances here for touring.
Yeah.
It's way easier than the 7 hours between
Vancouver cities. And, like...
Like Kamloops, or like we're doing one that's the Vancouver to Calgary trip, and that's gonna be long. But
I had to do it. I had to drive once from Vancouver to Golden.
Oh yeah, that's a trip.
Drove overnight. It was about 10 hours because you had to make, like, there's no way you want to do straight through.
No,
but you're right. Like, you got Vancouver and like Mission, and then there's nothing. I mean, there's Hope, but there's really nothing
Chilliwack.
Else. Yeah, maybe Merritt. My sister got lost in Merritt once, coming back from the Mountain Music Festival.
Yeah.
But there's really nothing between Vancouver and Kamloops, whereas here you've got Hamilton, you've got Guelph, you've got, like Buffalo.
London.
Buffalo's 3 hours away.
Exactly, yeah.
Ottawa.
Even Kingston,
yeah.
It's so close.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Like, there's such a wealth of communities and markets. It's great.
Well, you have a new album coming out.
I have it. It's out today.
Out today, yeah, Friday. And you've got your... album release party at the Horseshoe tomorrow.
That's right, yeah.
And I know this, I mean, this album is already getting a lot of praise. I know you won a contest at Canadian Music Week.
That's right,
at the DMDS.
Yeah.
You were the winner of everything.
Oh, man.
With the lead single on the album.
Mm-hmm.
What was the process like for you putting this specific project together?
Well, it was a long one. It's definitely been working on it for a long time. I wrote the entirety of the record in two separate residencies, one in Western Newfoundland in an old cottage hospital turned art center in Grosmore National Park, and then the other half in Dawson City, Yukon, where I was like the songwriter in residence through the Dawson City Music Festival. So I was there for the entire month of January last year, and it was amazing. Yeah, so I like basically I had all this time to write, and I was inspired by the stories of the areas of, like, especially the stories of women in those remote areas. So all of the songs are kind of inspired by those stories, and that's that kind of makes up the entirety of the record.
You know, I talk to a lot of artists who talk about the joy of writing in at least somewhat isolated rural settings, and both Dawson City especially, which I adore.
Mm-hmm. Have you been there?
Yes.
Awesome. Isn't that amazing?
I love Dawson City.
Yeah.
And I've never been to Grosmorne, but I imagine the terrain is something similar. For you as a writer, being in sort of that semi-solitary state of mind, what does that do for the creative process?
Well, honestly, it forces you to slow down for starters, because in the current climate and the current industry, I feel like you have to wear a lot of hats. Even, you know, I'm starting to, at this stage in my career, kind of hand off certain jobs to different people, have different people on my team where they can take on more of the responsibilities. But even still, there's so much to do and so much to think about on a daily basis that it's really hard to integrate creative time, because how do you, you know, you can schedule time all you want, but how do you really let yourself get into those spaces? So to have that time period where you're not in your own space, you're out of it, and you're able to just create for an indefinite amount of time, it's huge. And especially the remote areas as well, it's very, it's distracting. So that's the big Toronto smoke, as it were.
You know, we mentioned that we both spent time on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. I'm from Victoria originally.
All right, cool.
I know I had my reasons for relocating out east, but as an artist, What made you want to make that leap from Vancouver to Toronto?
Well, I'm from here originally. Like, I was born in Scarborough. We moved all over Ontario a lot when I was younger. And a lot of my family's still out here. And the leap really came for me because I do still really feel comfortable out here. I still feel like I fit in a big way. And also the industry side of things, it's just so much easier to access here. There's more people. You can do a lot of different things that don't fit into one box or one idea because there are audiences for things. They're like, you can make art and you can make it different from anything that's currently happening, or like, you know, have it like blend a bunch of different things, and there's an audience for everything, and there are things going on, and it's vibrant, and there's actually, maybe because it's so oversaturated in this market because there's so many people, I find that it's way more collaborative because people want to like lift each other up and they want to like make art and make things happen, and it's really inspiring. It's a good place to be.
It's interesting you mentioned that. I definitely find that Vancouver, it's more competitive but less friendly.
Yeah.
Whereas in Toronto and sort of on this area, it's much more community, I think.
Yeah, big time.
That's what I found.
Well, you have to, because it's such a big scene, right? Like, it would be not worth it if there wasn't that community.
So you're single, which we talked about earlier. Won the Yangaroo DMDS competition at Canadian Music Week. I know everyone who listened to it, I think, fell in love with that song. I think the judge basically said, you already have a hit record. What was that whole day like for you?
Honestly, I almost didn't go because I had to get off work for it. And I was just like, oh, it's so stressful. And I think as an artist, you're just so used to, like, as you're building, like, rejection, you know, not having, like, you know, insane amounts of praise all the time. Like, that's, you just kind of get used to the fact that that's not necessarily going to happen. And I really wasn't expecting them to say all of those wonderful, wonderful things. And I was like, I was almost moved to tears at one point because I was just like, I really believe in this thing. And that's why this record is self-titled, is because I feel like, you know, you're always going to grow as an artist, but I feel like this is the sound that I've been after and that is so true to my heart. I've been after for so long. And so to actually achieve something that I'm so proud of, I've been very excited to put it out. So to have other people recognize and be excited about the thing that I'm excited about, that I made, is like, I was over the moon. So like, I couldn't have anticipated that, but I was very, very happy.
I mean, you technically won twice, because you won you won the rock category, and then you won best song overall.
Yeah,
you know, and I was having, so nice. It's interesting, I was having a conversation with my sister, because she was in, Joan Bessie was the one of the entrants in the pop category, and she was kind of bemused at why she was in the pop category, because her band now is definitely a little more on the rock side, and
totally.
She was like, maybe they just don't put women in rock, and then here you are and you win the whole thing.
I mean, it's a tricky genre, so tricky too, so hard to categorize, so yeah, that's a weird one. But it is an interesting thing, being a woman in rock music, for sure. And like, there's a lot of like the fight that you have to make to take up space, but it's totally worth it. And there's a lot of people championing, you know, gender parity within the that side of that genre. So it's great, and like, change is happening, but it is definitely an endeavor, for sure.
You mentioned gender parity, and I talk to a lot of filmmakers about this, because that's, I think, really kind of where that cultural movement started, at least in the entertainment world.
Right.
But how are you finding being in the music business? How are you finding that conversation is evolving the way we think about music, the way we make music, the way we approach the craft?
Big time. I mean, I think as artists, you do kind of have to almost take on a bit of a political mind, just because everything of what you do is so integrated into like the social realities that we're all in and are part of. So it is interesting. I mean, my bubble is very much in the arts, so maybe this is just my experience, but I'm definitely hearing that conversation more than ever, continually, kind of on the up and up. There are so many people like making excellent changes, fighting the fight, kind of inspiring others to make changes as well, which is huge. And also like different things, like I hear this over and over again, of just like friends of mine, including a lot of like male allies in the music industry, but are saying that like they're just so tired of seeing like an all white, all male rock band, and that to see other, you know, different, you know, people of color, women, non-binary folks, trans folks, like all these people making this kind of music is kind of bringing a refresher. Like we're all saying that rock is dead, but now it's like something is changing and then it's not dying, which is really cool. So that's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm really excited about too, and hopefully can add to, you know, add my, make my part known anyway. So,
you know, I think to people who are removed from the business, mm-hmm. it may seem like the entertainment industry is very saturated, or can be very saturated. Mm-hmm. As an artist, as a songwriter, as a storyteller, how hard was it for you to find your voice within this immensely crowded field?
Right. Especially right now, because of just the way, like the access to information currently has made it so that a lot of people can put music out and a lot of people can access it. And that is awesome. Like that's a hugely good thing in my opinion, but it is a tricky thing to navigate as far as getting your own stuff heard. And I mean, it's still a tricky question because it's kind of a Wild West format right now. There is no right answer, but I mean, I think doing what you believe in is really important and not succumbing to confines of what you're expected to do or what you, I don't know, other people think you should do. I think that's really important to just like stay true to your voice and keep going. Like, I don't know, there's always a place for making art, no matter what the art is. I think it's really important to keep that. And to also, in this day and age, I think everybody needs that.
You touched on it a bit earlier, but would you say art is inherently political? Does it have to be?
I think currently it's really important to be. Like, especially just the way things are changing in the state of the world, as much as that's a bit of a cliche, I think it's important to be right now. Yeah.
You mentioned it, you know, you wrote this album half in Newfoundland, half in the Yukon.
That's right, yeah.
But in terms of your actual writing process for crafting a song, do you mm-hmm. find that you do, is it always lyrics first? Is it always music first? Is it a bit of a mix and match depending mm-hmm. on song?
Mix and match. I definitely err on the side of music, and like I can think of like, you know, the melody and the guitar parts before the lyrics, but the syntax also comes into it quite early on. And then from there, what I'm evoking and what like emotional elements I'm getting out of it, I can get inspired by a story and then link it to the lyrics a bit easier. But it's like that that Paul McCartney, like yesterday, scrambled eggs thing.
Yeah.
Definitely like my syntax. Yeah.
How different would you say, because you've been obviously with this album for a while, from when you first put it down on the page to when you're in the studio to the final master version, how similar or different is the final product from the first envision of it?
Right. I mean, I tend to write on acoustic guitar, so they do sound quite a bit different, but I do tend to write with kind of production ideas in mind. So I have like, you know, certain full band things already in my head once I'm writing them, even if I don't have access to them at that point. I worked with a producer who's also one of my best friends, Devin Loheed, and we worked very closely and quickly and with much joy on this record. It was probably the most fun I've ever had making a record, and his ideas when we first started, you know, making demos and starting to put together the idea of the project, his ideas were very much in line with mine. We both respected each other a great deal and had worked together a little bit previously, so it was, I think that was really important to kind of have the same vision, or at least like, you know, there's some wiggle room within, you know, between our two visions, but they were very much in line. So that was, it was awesome to see it come to fruition.
How heavily involved are you in the actual production and mixing of the record?
I mean, for the production element, like I'm there for everything, and like not, like I wouldn't go so far as to say I'm taking on a co-production role, just because my knowledge of sound engineering isn't, you know, isn't quite there. I'm getting better slowly, but like I'm definitely like very hands-on. I like to be very involved. I like to kind of make decisions as well. And also, you know, like give and take, I'm down to let decisions be made as well by other people involved. But yeah, very, I like to be very involved. This one I was very involved with the mixing, because Devin and I had a very, you know, in line idea of what we wanted. He kind of took on a lot of the mixing, but I, you know, lots of back and forths with notes and things like that, and certain things we had to workshop a couple times, but he did like an excellent job. He's an excellent producer, mixer, sound engineer, and I couldn't have been luckier.
I know right after Dread New, you have to scoot down to Hamilton. You're starting your kind of mini tour for the next
sort of, like, yeah,
little kind of, I know you're doing some shows here, you're going out west for a bit.
Yep.
What are you looking forward to about this specific tour for this specific record?
I mean, we're very busy this summer, which is excellent. We're playing some excellent festivals like Riverfest Alora, which I'm really excited about. Go North Music Festival near Sault Ste. Marie, Calgary Stampede, that kind of thing. But also, I mean, it's really nice to be headlining shows that people are excited about. Like, there's some really fun ones coming up that I like. I don't know, we've gone to these markets a bunch of times over the years and have kind of made little second homes in all of them, so I'm excited to return. I'm also really excited, we're doing 4 more shows with The Lowest of the Low, and I'm a big fan. So we've got a bunch of shows, we're doing like a Waterloo, St. Catharines, London, and Oshawa together.
And now here is Sky's first single, Swing Batter.
Swing, bear, swing. This is the last time I will let you touch me with that thing. Take another look. My eyes are occupied with the violence. Reciprocate.
Tour guide that you're doing a show with Sam Roberts?
Yeah, we're doing 2 back-to-back shows with them at the end of the summer on Labor Day at the Kitabala in Muskoka. And we've done a couple of shows with them in the past, and it's always incredible. They're like one of the most insanely tight bands I've ever seen. Yeah, so we're really excited to do that again.
And tomorrow you get to play at perhaps what is Toronto's most iconic music venue ever. Like, yeah. You talk to any artist, they're just like, you know, horseshoe. Like,
yeah.
I compare it to, is you probably not being, having lived in Vancouver, the Commodore Ballroom.
Definitely.
And then the Horseshoe Tavern. It's yeah. like, if you play both those venues, you're set.
Totally.
Right?
Totally.
What does it mean to you to be able to play at the Horseshoe? On your own headlining tour?
It's pretty huge. Because, like, I played there a lot over the course of my time in Toronto. But it started with, you know, playing shows that not many people were going to. And you know, getting a chance to play there initially and taking a chance on me was, like, a hugely wonderful thing that I was really excited about. But to play a show that, like you said, is a headlining spot that's, like, for my album release on a Saturday at the Shoe, which, you know, in my mind when I first came to Toronto was, like, the big thing and still is. It's huge. It's amazing. And I love playing there so much. It's, like, the sound's good. The people who work there are good. Like, everybody always has such a great time. So very excited to bring the live show there again.
I know both here and in Vancouver we're hearing stories of these legendary venues that are shutting their doors because they can't afford rent or, you know, whatever. What is the importance of sort of, you have your big concert halls, but also these smaller, independent sort of music halls. So, what's the importance of them?
They are super important, like you say. I think the grassroots element is still really needing to come into play with music, and I think it is, and I think it will be increasingly so more important with that goes with smaller towns as well, but like those intimate venues where you can connect with people in such a real way, like those are immensely important, even more so than the big ones in certain, you know, certain moments in time. So like to have the blend of the two and to kind of have all of those connections available to you is like, I don't know, I like doing a full range of the different live shows just so that you can interact with people differently and showcase your art differently. It's really cool. It's like a fun challenge to do that.
On that note, you know, it's festival season coming up and you are playing a few, and that's always a different animal because it's outdoors.
Yeah.
There's people there, but they may not be listening because they're, you know, doing this or they're in a show or that. How do you prepare for that environment?
I mean, we always have immensely good times at festivals. I'm playing with some of my best friends, and the set that we've kind of curated for the festival sound is like big and fun and like gets people engaged, for in my experience anyway, and or like we hope to. And yeah, I mean, I can't imagine having a bad time with that kind of situation. I'm just very excited.
Just acoustically and sonically, the sound is going to be very different.
Yeah.
When you're outdoors and versus when you're, you know, in a place like the Horseshoe or the Dakota or whatever. How much adjustments do you have to make for any given song if you're at an outdoor venue compared to an indoor venue?
It depends on how small the indoor venue is. I mean, I'm lucky, especially with the players that I have. A lot of them are jazz trained or trained in some way, but have also played in like hardcore bands or rock bands throughout the course of their careers. So they have, you know, they can play super loud or they can play house shows. They can play 30 person house crowds, which is awesome. They're all excellent and know how to showcase the songs and like listen to what I'm doing and I listen to them. Like it's a really nice kind of relationship that we have going. So we can kind of curate the sound. It's a pretty straight ahead setup. So we have like a very, you know, rock band type of setup where we have our own amps. We have, you know, the stage sound is fairly controlled. So it's pretty easy for most sound people to kind of hook us up and, you know, change the sound however they need to fit the venue.
How does your relationship with the audience change in an intimate show or setting versus, you know, like a large outdoor crowd or maybe a bigger type of venue?
Well, definitely affects like kind of the arc of the set list for me going into it, but also just like how I perform definitely changes how we all perform as a group. Like the intimate stuff, there's more, you can get more into the storytelling element. You can really talk about what all the songs are about and connect with people like kind of one-on-one. You can look them in the eyes, whereas like with these big like fun crowds, like we can rock and get people dancing or, you know, thrashing or moving. Like it's kind of a really fun, I don't know, array of different interactions with the audience that you can have.
What are you looking forward to most about this tour, do you think?
I mean, I'm really excited to play the release shows in the towns that I've lived in Toronto and in Vancouver. So those are big for me. I'm just really excited to get this record out there because this is the first one, like I said before, I'm so proud of it and I like it for me. And because of that, I have you know, goals and things like that, and I'm going to work very, very hard in getting it out there as much as I can, but I don't have expectations specific to it because I love it, I want people to hear it, and that's kind of all there is to it. So we're just going to hit the ground running and get it out there as much as we can.
How different do you think the crowds are in, you know, here versus out west?
That's hard to say. I mean, people are people. I don't know terribly what the differences might be because we've had great times in both, so can't complain.
Would you say you have a favorite song off the current album?
I mean, There's a Wall, which is like the main single, has been kind of my favorite, but increasingly so, there are these two songs that I wrote in the Cottage Hospital, the former Cottage Hospital in Newfoundland. Death of Me, which is the first track on the record, and Stand Back, which is kind of like a quieter, Devin, the producer, calls it my glycerine. But it's like the two of them have really stood out as these like kind of gems in my mind, and I'm so glad that they were born.
I hear a lot of bands, you know, like I'll listen to their record and then they'll play a song live and it's very, very, very different.
Totally.
Live. How much does playing a song live for you change versus just recording it for the album?
It depends. A lot of these ones on the record are fairly true to form. Like, they're fairly close to what we put on the record because it is still so fresh. And also, the record itself was based off of what we've been doing live. So that's fairly close. But, you know, there's certain songs, like, from, like, previous records that are on the folkier side when I initially recorded them and wrote them. Used to play acoustic guitar, you know, like it was very much on the folkier side. So we have had certain songs that we've reinvented and they are extremely different. So it's fun to play with that too. Like there's this song Dead Things Part 2. And yeah, very different. A lot rockier. We rocked it up.
In all your experience, either, you know, playing live shows or touring, what's the weirdest thing that's ever happened?
Ooh, the weirdest thing. Hang on, I need to think about it for a sec. Man, I'm trying to think of all these weird things. There's so many things that happen, but then when you're faced with choosing one, they all dissipate. Frick. I guess like it's interesting going to Italy, and being like a female artist, it's like a very different experience than here. So that was a thing where it was very much you know, appearance comments were fairly prevalent and things like that, and it was difficult to navigate, but you know, I had good people on my side, and there's also like tons of awesome people there who were helping me navigate it as well, so that was a weird one. One person, I've told this story at shows, so apologies to anybody who's listening that's heard this story before, but I was standing outside of the venue one time with shorts on, and an old man came up to me and kind of looked me up and down and then pointed at my legs, and I have very, very white legs, like kind of iridescent, and he didn't speak English. All he said was mozzarella. And I was like, wait, what? And then he has a point. But still. So anyway, you know, interesting times.
Playing overseas is always it can be an interesting experience for an artist. The first time you got to travel out of out of Canada, out of North America. What was that like for you? Did you feel like you had made it on a different level?
Kind of, yeah, absolutely. The first tour I ever did was in Italy, actually, in Europe. That was in like 2014, 2015. It was with my friend whose stage name is Miss Quincy, Jody Peck. She's from, lives in Vancouver. I think she's originally from Fort St. John, BC. And so she had been touring there for a number of years. This was like her sixth tour or something. And so she brought me along as like, we kind of combined sets and played on each other's songs and did a duo tour of Italy. And honestly, touring Italy is incredible. It's like the food there is incredible. People love music. They appreciate it so much. And I feel like that's true with a lot of European countries. Like music and art are so appreciated and you're really taken care of. And it's they appreciate you coming overseas, like such a distance and being opened up to different kinds of music that is not typically, you know, found in these areas. So it's like, that was a big game changer for me and made me want to go back to Europe again, for sure.
We talked about your weirdest moment, but do you have either a favorite moment or a moment you can pick, like, that was the best show I ever did?
There were a couple recently. One was last summer I played the Dawson City Music Festival after having done the residency program there 6 months before. So when I was there initially, it was, you know, I got to minus 45. It was January, so there were a couple of hours of daylight per day. It was very dark. It was very cold. It was excellent, excellent time. But a very, very different excellent time in the summertime when there was, you know, all night sun, super warm, and we played second last on the last day of the festival on the big main stage. And it was like everybody from the festival was there. People were like standing on each other's shoulders. Everybody was just like so engaged. And there was a moment where we did an encore and we sang this song called Klondike that I've written about Dawson City. And I say Dawson in it. And Jody, who was Miss Quincy, who was my guitar player in my Vancouver band, she like did this hand gesture to get everybody riled up, and everybody just like screamed. It was like facing the Klondike River, and it was the most incredible. Like I kind of cried afterward because it was so, like, it just felt like that was the reason why I'd gotten into doing this in the first place.
Well, Sky Wallace, the self-titled album. You're starting your, you're in Hamilton tonight. This will go up Sunday, so you'll already done Hamilton, you'll have done your show at the Horseshoe, and then you're off to sort of Southern Ontario after that?
Yeah, we're doing London on the 13th, St. Catharines on the 14th, Waterloo on the 15th, and then Oshawa on the 20th, Windsor on the 21st, Ottawa on the 22nd, we're going to Burnstown on July 5th, and then Vancouver July 9th. Calgary, July 11th, and then Go North Music Festival, July 13th.
Right, and then I know later on you come back here because you're in like Bala, I think.
Yeah, with... at the end of August. We're also doing like Riverfest in August and a bunch of stuff in Blue Mountains, Brampton. Yeah, I'm really excited.
Well, Sky Wallace, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And enjoy the tour.
Thank you very much.
That was my conversation with Sky Wallace. Her new self-titled album is out now. Please check out skywallace.com for tour details. That's Sky, S-K-Y-E. We're going to take you with Sky's single, The Champ, the one that won it all at Canadian Music Week. The single that will skyrocket Sky to stardom. This is There Is a Wall. Thanks for tuning in, and I will see you soon. Bye for now.
It's not a sweet listen in the day with the night is dark with a thousand stars, and I can't see with, and I'm working, I'm working every day a little harder, and I can't see it, and I look forward to nothing at all, to nothing. I'm down.